Good morning.
Good morning.
Washington, fucking idiot. We show me what he's on all the material, I got that case on, so where they, I got some bed in touch here, so where they, although he, comes here, he came by the job. Comes here too, well, young day, he got a conch out here, not there. We want to do two or three or four things this morning. First, we want to say that today in the Christian calendar is a special day. It is Pentecost, the day that we give proper emphasis to the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is also the day often called the birthday of the Christian church, because it's the time when the disciples left the room that they locked themselves in and went public, boldly and openly sharing the gospel. Secondly, we want to take notice quickly that Theophilus, the name of the person to whom Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles. It's not clear in Greek, it's not clear in English, but it is very clear in Chinese that his given name is Teyafe, and his surname is Luo Tueba. Not here. Believe me, when you read the Chinese Bible, you will see it. It surprised me that I had a relative who not only lived that early, but received this special gift of a gospel and the special gift of this story of God's leading his church. Okay, maybe not. Thirdly, we want quickly to notice a few things from the scripture lesson we just read. We're going to kind of summarize very quickly. Before Jesus ascends to heaven, he gives 40 days of instruction to the disciples through the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, about the kingdom of God. Those 40 days had to be a good time, right? Had to be very special. Jesus also told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for God's gift of the Spirit. Notice how important the Spirit is. The disciples asked, "Is this the time when God will restore the kingdom of God to Israel?" Jesus' answer is that God's kingdom is not limited to Israel, but goes to the ends of the earth. After Jesus finally ascends to heaven, angels come and ask the disciples, "Why are you standing there looking up to the heavens as though they're waiting for something to happen?" Finally, the disciples and the women, doesn't say which women, doesn't say how many women in Greek, kind of like in English, you can use a plural word without indicating how many, right? And it's interesting that the Taiwanese Bible says, quinai. The Mandarin Bible says, yochi ge. Okay. I think the Taiwanese indicates a few more than the Mandarin. In any case, the women, including Jesus' mother, Mary, and his brothers, Jesus' brothers, and we don't know how many of those, went to wait in prayer for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just note a couple of things about what we have just said. One, the apostles had no idea what they should be doing, right? They were waiting for something. They went to Jerusalem to wait in prayer, but they didn't really know what it was that was going to happen. What's going to happen, in other words, is the work of the Holy Spirit and not theirs. Secondly, that early group of people, somewhat unspectacular people that the Spirit was going to work with, seems to have been a pretty small group. 10 apostles, right? Mary, that's 12. Some women, some of Jesus' brothers. I figure probably not many more than 20. Once, however, the Spirit does come and touch people, and with the divine whirlwind, we'll talk more about that in a minute, activates this group of people, beginning with Pentecost, in a way that reaches down to this present day and this present place. In other words, Pentecost is not a day in history, it's a movement that continues to today. Now, fourth, let's take a little time though to talk about, picture for ourselves, how Jesus explained that the Spirit would work. Jesus said that the apostles and the others would be witnesses to the crucifixion, to the resurrection, and to the Spirit working among them and working through them. And more concretely, Jesus says they would be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's interesting that when you read the book of Acts, it's four. It's almost like an outline of the book of Acts. Things start in Jerusalem, right? That's where the disciples went to wait. Starts in Jerusalem. A few chapters later, we have these words, chapter 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Who would those scattered ones be? The women, the brothers. And verse 4 of that chapter goes on to say, now those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Doesn't say it this way in the Bible, but I think we could say it also this way. Those who were scattered preached the word wherever they were driven. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Chapter 9 goes on to speak about the conversion of Paul. chapters 10 to 12 talk about, believe it or not, the conversion of Peter. Namely, that Gentiles from all nations will be saved too. Thus the movement of the gospel explodes. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and God calls special people to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. The movement of the gospel explodes far beyond the room the believers locked themselves in, or the city in which they were waiting. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. It's already happening and still is. The Acts of the Apostles, the gift of Pentecost continues to this day. Now, beyond being just a historical progression, these four places, I think we can see another meaning. Jerusalem was the starting point, the center. Judea was the surrounding area of Jerusalem, where people of the same culture and the same language and the same history and the same religion lived, as did those people in Jerusalem. Samaria, not so far from Jerusalem, and right next door to Judea, Samaria had people, however, with a different history and a different culture. And the relation between the people of Samaria and the people of Judea or Jerusalem was never good. And of course, ends of the earth refers to people of every place and every culture and every language and every religion. The mission of the gospel, in other words, begins at the center, Jerusalem, but it doesn't stay there. And it's not meant to stay there. It moves. It is propelled outward to places near and far, to cultures familiar and cultures foreign. Now, let's pursue it a little bit further. In the book of Acts, we talked about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Where was the ends of the earth in the book of Acts? It was Rome. Maybe Spain, but certainly Rome. And the gospel moved to Rome. The church there was big enough that Paul even wrote one of his important epistles to the church in Rome, even though he had never been there. Now, the question is this, okay? From Jerusalem, things moved to end of the earth, to Rome. How do you think the people in Rome thought of their place? Rome. That was their Jerusalem. That was their Jerusalem. That was their starting point. There was the place where the gospel came to them. And so from Rome, then, the gospel moved. And it moved to Italy. Jerusalem, Judea, right? And beyond that, we could say Greece, Samaria, different language, different culture, and from there to the ends of the earth. Would you believe? Turkey. Today, a very Muslim place. But in those days, Turkey was the place where Paul spent most of his travels. Most of the places and the churches he visited, they were in Turkey. The gospel moved to Turkey, to the east, and we'll talk about that more in a minute, and to Europe, to the north, and to the west. And indeed, from Turkey, the gospel moved to Iran, Iraq, India, Baghdad became, believe it or not, the Jerusalem from which the gospel moved to China. That's in the Tang Dynasty. And it was not called Jingjiao. It was called Jingjiao. Jingjiao. Often translated the illustrious teaching. And Jingjiao lived there as long as the Tang Dynasty lived there. Unfortunately, when the Tang Dynasty fell, the Christian Church, Jingjiao, also no longer existed there. However, the gospel did continue to increase. Movement to the north, to Russia, to North, South America, to Nigeria, and the rest of Africa, to Fiji and scattered islands all abroad. Incredible. Do you remember when the Lord was explaining the work of the Spirit to Nicodemus? Jesus said that the Spirit was like a wind that blows where it pleases. In Chinese, it's translated feng shui er chui. Isn't that a lovely phrase? Feng, actually the word in Greek, feng ling, is the same word. It can be translated either way. And so Jesus was talking about the feng that we've been feeling these days outside, but at a deeper meaning, the Spirit. Chui. Sui, our twain. It's like the Spirit begins at Jerusalem and it blows. And it blows the early Christians to Judea and to Samaria and Timothy and Lydia and Paul and others. All throughout Asia, and from there blows the Roman Christians and others to Turkey, as we said, to Spain, to England, and from there blows the gospel through Asia to Taiwan. In Japan. And Korea, and China, and Mongolia. When the Spirit blows, it's like a whirlwind. It's blowing in all directions, from this Jerusalem to that end of the earth, and from this Jerusalem to that end of the earth, and from that end of the earth, to which is a new Jerusalem, to other ends of the earth, until the whole world is bathed in this divine whirlwind. When the Spirit blows, begins with 20 people. 20 people! Who started out, didn't know what to do, and picks them up and blows them in places they may never have intended, like a whirlwind. Not destructive, but powerful. And it never stops. Now, look where you are. Where did you start from? Taiwan? China? Japan? Other parts of the United States? Different places. You may think it was your decision to move to this end of the earth. Perhaps for study, perhaps for business, perhaps for family, perhaps. But look, you're here now. And you're here in this place. And you're here in worship with brothers and sisters who worship in this congregation in suburban St. Louis. Every one of us. Who knows how long you will stay here? People move, business, family. Spirit keeps blowing. And with you blows the seed of the gospel, sway wherever it pleases him. Beginning in your Jerusalem, here in Baldwin. You now have your Jerusalem here. Your family, your friends, your colleagues. That's why the Spirit blew you here and blew them here, so that the Spirit can work through you. You reach out to your Judea, people with fellow immigrants, compatriots, family, friends, and your Samaria, people with different histories, different languages, different reasons they immigrated, and your ends of the earth. And your end of the earth, given this is your Jerusalem, your end of the earth includes the place where you started. Back to Taiwan, China, Japan, wherever. Isn't that amazing? From your Jerusalem, Taiwan, St. Louis is your ends of the earth. St. Louis becomes your Jerusalem. And now, Taiwan and whatever other place it may be, becomes your end of the earth. The Spirit is incredible. He leaves no one. He forgets no one. From 20, he has energized a church that reaches all places and peoples, even those who resist. And the whirlwind continues to blow and energize new Jerusalems and create new Judeas and new Samarias and new ends of the earth and touches them all. Pentecost. What a big day. It deserves a place close to Christmas, right? And close to Easter. Incredible. An explosive day. What a marvelous Spirit whose divine energy never tires, never blows out. What a Spirit of power that triggers new whirlwinds in the life of God's people. including you. And like with the first disciples, it's not so much something we have to do ourselves. It's the Spirit blowing in us, blowing through us, and taking us into the lives of others who may never have heard the gospel, or who may have heard the gospel and forgotten it, or who have heard the gospel and rejected it. But the Spirit never stops. Remember the question the apostles, with some excitement, initially asked Jesus: is this, Lord, the time when God will restore the kingdom of God to Israel? No, he didn't say no, but he did teach them. No, Israel is your Jerusalem. Israel is the starting point and leads to Jerusalems all over the world. There is no place too small or too large, too poor or too rich, too broken or too strong for the Lord's love. Bailey sums it up nicely in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, your ends of the earth. Let's join in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, what marvelous love you have shown this world and we who live in this world. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son. Sent him to the cross. Sent him to bear the sin of the world. Sent him to bring salvation and deliverance. Lord, thank you. In the complete fullness of time, 3 days after the crucifixion, you called your Son out of the grave. You put a stamp of acceptance on what he did, and you called him to yourself. For us who continue to live in this world after your Son ascended, you send your Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, to not only teach us, but to energize us, to live in us, to direct our lives in ways that we would not necessarily have wisdom or have inclination to do ourselves. We thank you, Lord, because no matter where we look, there are new Jerusalems everywhere, and new Judeas and new Samarias, and certainly ends of the earth. For that Spirit, for that energy, that love, that strength, Lord, we thank you. For the young lady being baptized today, we also thank you, and we ask you to blow your Spirit also on her, so that she, through the washing of regeneration, through the baptism of the Spirit, may be brought close to you, Lord, and may be enrolled, in fact, in this divine whirlwind which we all are part of. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all who are here. Thank you for people back home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.